According to new federal data, Indiana's black students are suspended at 4 times the rate of white peers and are half as likely to be enrolled in gifted programs. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Peter Balanon Rosen reports, leveling the playing field could start with conversations about an often taboo topic, teachers' racial biases.
For those familiar with school discipline, one thing is clear.
We do see a disproportionate number of minority cases.
Nicole Goodson works with a lot of black and Latino boys who have been suspended. She's a staff attorney with Disability Legal Services of Indiana. Here, schools on average suspend 1 in 20 white students, but 1 in 5 black students, and almost 1 in 3 black boys.
I thought that number was startling.
Goodson says schools often suspend students for nonviolent reasons.
Not necessarily behavior that puts anyone at risk, but maybe not following the rules exactly as they're written.
Things like noncompliance, disrespect, situations that require a judgment call. And that's important, because what if one's attitude towards race unconsciously clouds that judgment and you don't even know it's happening?
Are we just sitting around here, Ayanna, or?
Ayanna Coles teaches third grade. She's one of 4 teachers of color at Eagle Creek Elementary School in Indianapolis. In her room, after school, it's hot and the fans are on.
Just fill in wherever.
That's Coles, welcoming colleagues to an after-school meeting about race.
We are going to experience discomfort, and we may or may not experience it, but if we have it, it's okay.
Her goal? Talk about race and implicit biases that teachers could unconsciously bring to class.
If you remember, you all came up with your own definitions of racism, and then I shared with you.
School administration called these meetings a success. Most staff have attended.
We talked about this unquestioned assumptions, like some parents or groups of people have no value of education, or their parents are uneducated, their parents don't have money, or they can't buy books, or their parents don't speak proper English.
And these meetings aren't part of any larger program. They're just a group of about 20 teachers getting together after school. Coles calls them courageous conversations.
I'm going to stop at a moment and let people... Do you want to stop?
Yeah,
go ahead.
So, in terms
that's
of
music teacher Jason Coons. He tells the group he feels bias is a two-way street. 4 of every 5 students at Eagle Creek Elementary are students of color. And he says students come in with assumptions about the almost exclusively white staff.
As a white heterosexual man... That's a lot of what they see, and if they're hearing at home how I'm the enemy, at the end of the day, I'm just frustrated with the fact that I don't feel like I can do anything about it. It's just...
So here's what I'll tell you, like, I have no answer for you. Like, I'm not the end all be all. I have no answer. But this is what I will tell you. I absolutely was taught, and to this day, to not trust white people.
Right.
And it is hard for me to trust white people, and I'm being dead serious. Until I got to college.
I was taught not to trust black people, so.
I get it.
Cole says understanding cultural differences and privilege might get teachers to acknowledge and then address how that plays out in the school.
I actually had someone ask me, why don't black people speak right? And it threw me.
Speech pathologist Dorothy Gerv is the only black teacher in the room besides Cole's.
So a lot of our kids use Ebonics.
Cole says that can trigger biases from teachers. Who's smart, who's not.
But how do we then bridge that gap between Ebonics and standard English?
Kindergarten teacher Robin Lawrence, she's hesitant.
I don't think we should go so far as to say, well, that's you, so you don't have to learn the standard way.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that the problem is that, and I'm just speaking for myself, not all black people, but I can remember being younger, and if I used standard English, I felt like I was acting white. And so I was opposed to it because I wanted to embrace my culture and heritage. So I think that sometimes...
But not understanding things like that can play out in major ways. A recent study looked at students recommended for gifted and talented programs across the nation. It found black students were 3 times more likely to be identified as gifted if that call came from a black teacher, not a white one.
Expressions of learning may be different because that's what we grew up with. Doesn't mean everybody did.
Jill Nicholson-Crotty is associate professor at Indiana University's School of Public and Environmental Affairs. She conducted that study.
One of the kind of the takeaways from this for us is that we really need more diversity in these sort of grades where it might be very important.
Back at Eagle Creek Elementary, Coons, the music teacher, he says he's looking at things that bother him a little differently.
Like what I think is misbehavior, and I'm not trying to sound like some hippie or something, but like, okay, is this really actually something that needs to be addressed, or is this just because it's so different from what I grew up with that I view this as offensive?
He says he's still learning.
I mean, I'm also just on my own little journey as well, you know? I mean, I'm thinking about the kids, but I mean, I'm still growing as a person quite a bit too, so.
Coles, the third grade teacher who led those conversations, plans to continue next year. She says she addresses these themes with teachers and students. So I ask her, which group is it easier to have those conversations with?
Kids, because they're honest. They're like, this is what I think, so this is what I'm going to say. Absolutely kids.
Oh, they're not uncomfortable yet.
No, not at all.
9-year-old Lene Goud is one of Cole's students.
You need to learn that you can have power for any perspective that you have. Like, if you look at the world and you see negativity, you can be an advocate and say something about it.
Lene's heading to Puerto Rico this summer with her family. She's a little nervous about flying, but she has big plans for the future when she gets back. She reads her class one last assignment.
Dear future Lene.
A letter to her future self.
One thing about you is that you are a 24-year-old activist.
She says she'll be an activist and teacher who talks about fairness, how she feels about the world. She hopes it'll be a perfect life.
To be a perfect life. Follow your dreams, future me. Sincerely, yours truly, 9-year-old Lene.
For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Peter Ballinon-Rosen.